Welcome to Vanguard Garage Gaming. My name's Reese, and I'm joined by Monty, and we are your vanguards for Parabellum's Conquest, A Last Argument of Kings. Mates, how you doing today, Mont?
Hi, Reese. I am fantastic. Hello, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Excellent, excellent. Now, we are coming in fairly consistently, actually. We've probably the first time we've stuck to a schedule for a while. But our last episode focused on getting from sort of Warband or Corebox in their instance to 2,000 points for the Hundred Kingdoms and the Spire. And today we are going to keep going with that little tradition that we have created, and we're going to focus on the Dwegholm and the Nords.
Yeah, and mate, I rudely didn't ask how you're doing. I was distracted just as you started the show. I was distracted with something. I heard a noise that I wasn't quite right. So, mate, how are you doing? What's you been getting up to?
I'm good. I'm always good. I have been organizing the 2,000 point event that we're going to be running in 2 weeks.
Yes,
Week and a half. So,
it's not long.
I know, right? So it's kind of so. Yeah, I've been organizing the venue, which is great because it's at one of our local stores, Irresistible Force, here in Brisbane. I've been organizing prize support, doing up certificates for the prizes and all the placing. Parabellum have made my life well easy by introducing their tournament page. So it makes any sort of ideas that I needed to figure out for scoring really simple because I can just follow their guideline. And then it's just making sure that everybody's pumped and ready. And we've got a few people coming already. I think we're sitting at 10 people confirmed, and then we'll see if anyone else rocks up on the day. Because we've got plenty of room to allow for, you know, more people to rock up, which is great. And yeah, so it's just been really doing that, mate. I haven't had much time to do much else between that and my normal life. So
absolutely. Look, we've been trying to drum up the local interest to this particular tournament, and yeah, hopefully we do get a couple of walk-ins. I know a few other people are sort of keen, and they're certainly on the maybe list. So, you know, fingers crossed. And I was just a little bit disappointed that I couldn't quite get my Woodruin army done in time. Didn't right, quite mate. Get the deliveries.
The next time. It's been a little the bit next delayed. Time. But no, I think this will be good because this is the first 2,000 point tournament we've run, because we've run I think all of them up until now have been 1,500 points. The first one might have even been 1,000 points. It's been that long that I can't remember. So, having this one be the first 2,000 points we're running will be really good. We've got a nice spread of armies from the guys who are playing. I think we've basically got two or three of everything that's being played for the most part, which is great. Obviously, Wadron, not so much yet, because I mean, you could run a lot of Braves, and a lot of Blooded, and you could hit 2,000 points, but it's probably more than people have time. It'll be really good. That's on the 20th, 20th of June, for anybody listening in the time paradox that is recording on a certain day and listening to it on another. Today's topic, we are going to talk you through how to build from a starter box into a 2,000 point army for the Dwegholm and the Nords. Now, we're going to start with the Dwegholm. For anybody who sort of hasn't listened to our Dwegholm faction focus, or our focus, I think we did on the Ardent Kerawa, the Dwegs are a really nice, solid army. They're really forgiving. And this, their warband box actually gives you some really good stuff.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all shiny good.
It's all shiny good. So quick rundown, it gives you a Hold Ray. It gives you a Tempered Steel Shaper. It gives you two boxes of Hold Warriors, which can also be assembled as Hold Ballistae. And it gives you a box of Dragon Slayers that can also be assembled as Hold Thanes.
Yes. Oh, look, I mean, it gives you a box of Dragon Slayers. you can look at the rules of the Thanes and say, what, building the Thanes, but those Dragon Slayer models are phenomenal. I can't go past them.
No, they're really nice. They're really cool. The models are sick as. They're just these tanky little dwarves wearing beard armor to protect them from all the flames, and they got their big-ass spears. But the Dwegholm box, like just as a baseline, that's great. It gives you one of your wizards, it gives you your combat beast character, it gives you, well, I mean, you can build all of that as mainstay if you wanted to. The only thing that isn't mainstay is Dragon Slayers, but if you built them as Thanes, they're a heavy mainstay for the Ray. If you build Warriors, they're a medium mainstay for both of the characters. If you build them as Ballistae, they're a light mainstay for both of the characters. That's probably one of a really good thing that to sort of quickly mention with the Dwegheim, which I think we mentioned in the faction focus, and we will as we go through the rest of the character focuses. But a Hold Warriors and Hold Ballistae can basically be run by everything in your army. And they're just a really nice, simple mainstay unit.
Yeah, they're super flexible. They just basically do what you need. I guess the Dweg fall into the same trap as the next faction we're about to talk about. And in that, they can be very elite. They can be a lot of points on the table for each particular unit. And I'm actually going to contradict a little thing of what you said in terms of, I think you said before, they're quite forgiving. I think Dweg are incredibly powerful when singing, but because they're so elite, I think it definitely punishes movement, and it definitely punishes any sort of misplay when you're trying to bring them on the table. It really punishes, you know, bad rolling for reinforcement rolls, that sort of thing, because they are so elite. So it's an army that I think has real high highs and may have some low lows. And the Warriors, the Ballistae, really help to stabilize that and make it a bit more consistent because they bring a really good package because they do a lot on the table and they're sort of the cheapest units available. So I think, you know, we'll talk, you know, obviously more about each box available and what they do and why you should add them to your list. But those two especially are just going to be mainstays. You're not going to go wrong. Warriors especially. Warriors are one of my favorite units for the Dwegs.
Yeah, the Warriors are great. They're sort of your all-purpose foot infantry with sword and board is the easiest way to look at it. I agree. Like, I think when I said forgiving, my mind was sort of like, because they're a fairly defensive army and they've got a lot of sort of synergies to allow for that here and there as well.
Absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
Yeah, but no, I 100% agree. Like, yeah, if you have some bad reinforcement rolls, it's going to really suck because the Dweg don't really have access to anything for the most part that lets them get onto the board consistently. So you kind of want a couple lights, a couple mediums, a couple heavies if you're running heavies to give you your multiplication on your rolling for reinforcements so that you have a better chance. Unlike, say, the Hundred Kingdoms where an Imperial officer could just pay the 50 points or whatever it is for tactical level 3 and you're guaranteed a unit. The Dweg don't have access to that. The Ardent Kerawar is the only character for the Dwegheim that can run tactical level 3. So he's not restricted in tactical. but the only, like, shy of putting him in, say, a big medium unit, for the most part, you're using that flank for a heavy. And the only heavy he can run are the Stone Sentinels. So you're probably not going to sort of sink all those points into getting the Stone Sentinels to have flank. But it is obviously an option. But as a baseline for that Warband box, it gives you mainstays. It gives you your heavy hitters in the Dragon Slayers who build in that way. The Steel Shaper is a really good support character. He's got 3 spells. 2 of them are buffs for your units. One of them's a debuff for your enemy's units. And he just works really well. Plus, he's got a really good supremacy ability. So if you run
disgusting
him as your
supremacy ability,
if you run him as your warlord, once per game, you heal 4 wounds back to every unit on the board.
Run him as your warlord.
Yeah, he's super good because that is honestly the difference between, you know, you fluffing some rolls on some Dragon Slayers and then a whole stand of Dragon Slayers coming back, which is, you know, when you're paying. You know, you're 75 points for an additional stand of Dragon Slayers, you're getting an additional 75 points back during a game. You know, Warriors is an extra 40 points, and it does this to every unit the turn you activate it. So you could get hundreds of points of your army back in that one turn with the Steel Shaper.
With the Steel Shaper, we'll have to do his own yeah. episode, obviously. We'll try to get to it. We'll try to get to all the characters in between.
He's on the list.
Additional things to cover. He's item number 371.
Yep.
but look, it just, yeah, it is so good. I can't really make a Dweck list without bricking him along, just because I've played, you know, games against lots and lots of Dweck, with him, and lots of Dweck without him, and whenever they haven't had him, it's always been an easier time for me. So I think that's the litmus test. How do they play? Like, when you're versing them, that ability to just, if you've cracked into Warriors, you've taken, say, three stands off them, they started with six, you've now outnumbered them by one on the objective, and all of a sudden one pops up again and now it's tied. You know, just simple things like that for objective play, let alone, you know, adding another 400 points to the army just through rejuvenated models. But you know, he's fantastic. I think this box, this warband box, is brilliant value because, as we said, everything's shiny good. You'll want everything in it. It's not like they give you a Ray and an Ardent Kirawa, and now we'll talk a little bit later about the Ardent Kirawa and how that changed, but sometimes you don't want to run both in the same army. But there's absolutely nothing stopping you from running both the Ray and the Steel Shaper. In fact, they're two obvious choices to take. All of the units that gives you are good, and it just gives you a really good basis. So, you know, two thumbs up from me, A+ box.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And then it's like, yeah, you get your Ray, who's your combat character, and he gives you access to your Dragon Slayers. Your Steel Shaper gives access to actually some really cool units as well. But no, so with a couple of upgrades, and we're not talking many, we're talking about a couple upgrades on the Ray, a spell on the Steel Shaper, and then a banner and a leader over the three units you build, you're sitting at 800 points. So you get 800 points out of this box. You're off to a really good start, because that's just three infantry units and two characters. Honestly, from there, I can highly recommend adding a unit of Fireforged to the Steel Shaper's warband, because he can take them as a mainstay. It gives him a medium unit he can sit in. And whether you want to buff them with his spell or have them a little bit danger close, because they're a super defensive unit for what they do. And you want to get them up close and personal if you're running the Flamecaster upgrade on the Fireforged, which gives you torrential fire. So at half range, all your hits generate additional hits. And then at that point, he can just debuff your opponent with the neg one defense. And when they're getting slapped by neg two from armor piercing two on the Fireforged shots, that can shred some units.
Yeah, well, look, it takes a three defense to zero, doesn't it? Neg one.
Yep.
Neg one plus neg two, and you're laughing all the way to the bank. So, no, he's great. I think it's a good shout. And again, I guess, like we sort of talked about in the last episode with the 100K and the Spires, in terms of that box was really good value. I think this box is really good value, but in a different way, because with Dwegs, you do have the option of going wide. You do have the option of building a lot of Warriors and Ballistae and running a bit more hoardy, but you've also got the option of just going real elite. So yeah. I think Fireforged, I think from the store is like €39.
That does sound about right, to be honest.
So, like, they're the cheapest infantry. Like, you know, whatever they're, you know, the cheapest box they have.
Yep, they're €39. Yeah, exactly.
There you go. My brain's good for something. and you can just get a couple of boxes of that. And because they're so expensive and they're so good for what they do, add in this warband box, add a few boxes of Fireforged, and you've basically got three quarters of your army.
Yep.
And then you've got flexibility to just sort of add a few more tactical pieces that you want. So I agree with you. I think Dweg are in this really good spot, in that they are probably, for my money, one of the cheapest armies to collect, even ahead of Spire 100K, purely because, well, you buy a couple of boxes and you got 2K.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, yeah, if you just went two warband boxes, you might run the second Ray. You probably won't run a second Steel Shaper. But at that point, you've got four stands of Warriors. You've got two stands of Dragon, you've got four regiments of Warriors, two regiments of Dragon Slayers or Thanes, whichever one you go for. And then you've got your two Beatstick characters and your Wizard. like that's a great place to start. And it's like, you know, you look at that, for example, like a unit of five or six stands of warriors is perfect. You put a Herald of Stone in on one unit like that in your army, and now they're defense four at the front with their shield. And you're not sinking a lot of points into it. And, you know, they still get to roll a bunch of dice. They get to sit there and be, you know, the wounds for the Ray, who is a monster when it comes to slapping things with his axe. So you can do a lot of work just by doubling down on warriors. And in all honesty, your whole Ballista, although they're a little bit expensive at 150 points baseline, because they're a light mainstay and they're easily accessible by every single character you have that consistency for, you know, your turn one, your turn two, when you're bringing lights on, and then they can trudge up the board, set the line, because Dwegholm do like a reinforcement line. And when you're reinforcing, you know, you're one or two units of Dragon Slayers that you're bringing on so that they're a little bit closer to the action, it's great.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. Lights are very handy. I mean, you can run them pure medium. You can forego lights entirely if you want to. Mm-hmm. It is risky because you just don't have that early game pressure. But I guess you then are manipulating the dice in your favor turn two by having, say, seven medium regiments or six medium regiments coming through. So you've got six dice. You've got much higher chance of getting some decent firepower on the board turn two onwards. So look, that's an option. If you were reversed to running the whole Ballista, which, again, I agree with you. I think they are slightly overcosted for what they do. So the temptation is to not run them, but I still think they do work. I think they're pretty good and probably you don't want to leave home without at least one unit. So just get on the board to just start chugging up, doing something. I mean, at the very least, if you're running a steel shaper, a unit of Ballista is a perfect carrier for him because you get him on turn one and you can score points.
Yep, because he's a medium.
He's a medium character. So you get him on. I played a game against our friend Dave, who did the exact same strategy and won in the game because he got on. I found all my lights. He got his light on and scored from turn one. And I just couldn't catch up. It was never ending. So, you know, it's a viable, you know, strategy.
Yeah, no, exactly. So yeah, in all honesty, you go from warband box, you're probably going to add, what, you reckon another one or two boxes of warriors easy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. They're great. I mean, like, I think with Dweg and with other options, other armies, obviously you have options of where to go. You can go very elite heavy. So you might want to leave the warriors at home, you know, if you wanted to go that route. So you could literally just go fire forward. You could get this box. So you get your two units of warriors, or one unit of warriors, one unit of Ballista. Then you could go Fireforged heavy with a splash of maybe one or two Dragon Slayers and just go elite. Do I think that's the best option? Probably not. But it's an option. And it's best bang for your buck, certainly buying the models, because, you know, they're all cost 200 plus points a box. So, you know, you've got to be up there in no time.
No, exactly. So, yeah, the way I look at it is, even if you didn't buy another warband box, you're going to buy basically at least the unit contents for the most part, because you'll buy the extra two boxes of warriors / Ballista, and you might buy an extra box of Dragon Slayers Thanes, depending on if you want to run more of one or the same of another. And then you'll, like I said, from there, I think adding in a unit of Fireforged is great. And at that point, if you go unit of Fireforged, you got your extra box of warriors, you've got your extra box of Ballista, and let's say you just, you know, you wanted to run all the Dragon Slayers in the world, right? You're already over 1,500 points at this rate. Mm-hmm. So from there, you've got a few options, but like for the most part, you've nearly built an army, and all you've done is realistically buy two warband boxes and a box of Fireforged. So you're already in a really good spot, especially from like a finance side of things. Like you've paid, you know, what, the €149 twice over, plus bought one box at €39. So you've spent not a lot, and just under 1600 points, 1575 after upgrades. So from there, you could either look at fleshing out the warbands. So for example, the Ray can obviously run the Thanes if you've got Dragon Slayers, or Dragon Slayers if you've got Thanes. He can also run Fireforge as a restricted option. And the other options he has are the Stoneforge, which haven't been released yet, and the Ironclad Drake, which haven't been released yet. So we'll shelve those for now and just focus on what you can take. Realistically, I think with the Ray, you're either going to run him with Thanes, or you're going to run him with Warriors, and then you'll probably have a unit of Dragon Slayers in his warband. That's sort of the flip on a dime. Is I think the Hold Warriors are really, really good medium unit. They're costed really well for what they do. And as soon as you put a Ray in there and the Herald of Stone in there, their defense 4, resolve 6. So it becomes a really hard unit to deal with. And then they just stick around for a while. Your Dragon Slayers, you can use as a flanking unit. So I think his warband will always sort of, at the moment, sort of side with one of those options, where it'll either be, you know, the two heavy units, the Thanes being heavy but mainstay, and then the Dragon Slayers being heavy but restricted, or Warriors and Dragon Slayers. So the Ray's sort of almost set how he is because of like what he has access to at the moment. I mean, hell, in the future, you might run him with Stoneforged or a Drake or whatever. But going off of the boxes at the moment, that's realistically your best option, unless you want to put like a unit of Ballista in with him, because he can take them. And then from there, the Steel Shaper, you'll run your Ballista with him, your Fireforged with him. He has access to, you know, Warriors as well. And he can run some other stuff that's not released at the moment. So basically, for the Steel Shaper, you're quite limited to Hold Warriors, Hold Ballista, and Fireforged, all of which are really good options because they're all mainstay for him. He fits well in all of them because you could put him in a unit of Hold Warriors, for example, and then give them +1 defense. Put him in a unit of Fireforged, and then they get +1 defense. Or you can give him +1 Clash. Like, you sort of get to mix and match with his spells to how you want him to operate. Honestly, I find him in Fireforge is good because he has a barrage shot, so he can actually do it. But like Monty said before, putting him in the end of Ballista and making them have a scoring stand is really good when they come on turn one.
And you want something cheeky. Put him in a unit of Ballista and make them 6 stands. They have the cheapest upgrade to Herald of Stone. It's only 20 points in them, but it's 50 points in anything else.
Yep.
So you could do a real cheeky turn one anvil that is just obnoxiously hard to get through.
Yep.
That doesn't do an awful amount, but really, melee-wise, if you hit them with the +1 clash from the Steel Shaper, they're doing the same thing as Hold Warriors anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
With the same defense, so...
The exact same defense.
The exact same defense, so they... And they're coming on early, so although they don't score... You know, that can be a real pain in the bottom, and not many. I don't see a big run, so people might be a little bit taken aback by saying, "What are you doing?" big block of Ballista, you know, 5Y. You know, just say, you know what, I'm coming up the board here. I'm shooting you with the face. If you clash with me, that's okay. At least I'll hold you for ages while my heavies slowly trudge up the board towards me, and then it's just a bad day for you. So yeah, no, look, the Tempered Sork, and going back to the Hold Rage you mentioned, I wouldn't leave home without a 6-stand warrior block with Herald of Stone. It's expensive, but it is what it is. It's his absolute home. It's his bread and butter. They will take some shifting. It can be shifted, but it will take some shifting, and you'll usually give better than you get.
Yeah.
When it comes to that Ray in them, the Warriors themselves are just a blade of wounds, but they can pop up with some really key damage as well. But they're fantastic. So that's the Ray. That's the Steel Shaper. They're both great. We haven't even mentioned the Articura or the Sorcerer.
Well, I was going to say from this point, so I just added some more upgrades to the units. to like, you know, gave the Fireforge like their flame caster and you know, the leaders in the ballista if you wanted to. I mean, they're easy ones to sort of drop out if you need to make points, but for argument's sake, I'm adding them in now. And I'm already at 1630 points. So from this point, your Steel Shaper and your Hold Ray are both in their warbands are both in good spots. So now you've either got to look at running a duplicate of one of those characters and adding more, or you run whole new characters and add more. So the Ardent Kirawar and the Sorcery are other two options. And this, I think, is sort of going to be the divide at this point, is because if you go with the Tempered Sorcerer, you get access to probably one of the best reinforcement setters in the game, which is the Infernal Automata. And you also get to do the exact same thing that I mentioned you could do with the Steel Shaper, which is you put the Sorcerer in a unit of Fireforged. The other option is you run an Ardent Kirawar, and the Ardent Kirawar gives you access to probably one of the best light units in the game, which is the Flame Berserkers, and also can run, you know, everything else that everyone else can run, which is the Warriors and the Ballista. Plus, he also gives you access to the spell Dismay, which is hilarious when you just break a unit and then charge it with the Hold Ray and issue a duel, and they can no longer decline because they're broken.
Thanks. Thanks, Dismay. Yeah. And look, it's really tough because with what you're saying and with the characters on offer, they're all really, really good. But you really do start to run into a really, really big tactical problem in that you almost spread yourself too thin. You've got these reinforcement roles that are incredibly inconsistent, the most inconsistent faction for reinforcement roles. So if you start bringing in, and when you're talking about the Ardent Kirawar, if we're talking strictly about upgrading the warband box, I think the Ardent Kirawar actually is a really poor fit because we both know how good he is, and I think he's a fantastic character, but his best units are restricted. So not only do you have to put an Ardent Kirawar in there, and you usually upgrade him with a lot of points in order to make him truly shine, but then you have to do a mainstay before you can then access his best units, which is a restricted option. So suddenly you're putting in an 800-point block into the army, which already was starved points. So I think if you're going to run Ardent Kirawar, I probably wouldn't. I mean, obviously, you know, get the warband box anyway because it gives you good units. But I probably would run it a little bit differently. So for this in-depth purposes, I would recommend we just can him for now.
Yep.
Because he makes a great building base for a Dwarg army. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different style. And of course, you can mix and match and do whatever you like. And please tell us stories of your successes and your epic failures, because we love to hear them on our Facebook page. But for now, I'll put them to one side. I think the Sorcerer fits with the army theme we're doing much, much better.
I agree.
I think with Dwarg, it's entirely logical to only run two characters, because of the expense of everything. I think that's entirely logical. If you want to run three, that's fine too. They're all really good, but obviously you're going to miss out on board presence. You have to have a plan for what you're doing with them, and make sure, you know, I know we cover this in the faction focus, but it's been quite some time since that's come about, and you know, we played a lot more games since. Make sure with Dwarg, you think about, what's the bulk of my army doing? Am I really relying on Dragon Slayers to be my punch? Am I relying on Hold Thanes to be my anvil? If you're relying on heavies to be your bulk, then you want to make sure that you don't just put one or two in a list. You want to make sure you try to have three or more, because at that point you're putting the odds of reinforcement into your favor. If you're just basically relying on, say, for instance, if you take all mainstays and you throw a one list of Dragon Slayers, like five stands tooled with a standard, you know, really give them hell, Dragon Slayers. Yeah, forget about it. He'll come on one game in 10, because he's just too inconsistent. Yeah. You got to sort of build around that. So yeah, that's the biggest advice I could give. You know, if you're gonna go heavy, brilliant. that's fine. It's a completely viable strategy, and they're great units, but then you have to build with that in mind and make sure you get redundancy in there with more numbers.
Yeah, and that's the huge thing with heavies, and we've discussed it before in the past, and we will every chance it sort of comes up. You need to build for the redundancy, because when you're rolling turn three, turn four, where you really need them on the board, so they're going to be relevant enough in the game, because the game can be over in 6-7 turns if people get on objectives early enough.
Yeah.
So yeah. You know, it's first to 12 victory points, and even a mission as simple as Maelstrom, you can score 4 victory points a turn if you're sitting on all the objectives. So you need them to consistently come on the board. So minimum is 2 heavies in a list. Minimum. That's minimum. if you're running heavies, because if you're rolling 2 dice fishing for 5s on turn 3, and then 2 dice fishing for 3s on turn 4. You've got a lot better chance rolling more than one dice of bringing them on. But I agree, if you're building it as the core of your army, so say, for example, you know, you bought a couple of the Warband boxes and you really liked Dragon Slayers, you would build, you know, a unit of Thanes, but you'd build them as Thanes and then the extra boxes Dragon Slayers, and you'd probably run them as 3 units. So you have your 3 heavy rolls from turn 3 onwards. Because otherwise,
it gets expensive. Gets real expensive real quick.
Exactly.
But again, that's the curse of the dweg. You know, the rub has to come somewhere. They're all very good. They're very punchy. They're very tanky. They've got great access to support buff characters and spells. But you know, the rub is they are very expensive. So you get less presence on the board than other armies would with the same stats.
Yeah. So an option that, like I mentioned earlier, sort of start is the Ardent Kerowar can run tactical level 3. If you're really wanting to
sort of play,
yeah. If you're really sort of looking to run something like that, you need to, you know, build around him flanking a heavy unit on. And then you're probably only running the one heavy. But yeah, so I agree. Once you said it before, running 2 characters in Dweg is usually fine. 3 characters is usually the max you'll get, because you'll run out of points real quick after you've built, you know, the unit for the character to sit in, add on any extra units in their regiment, any extra regiments in their warband, there we go, and add on any upgrades to the characters themselves, where it be whether it's spells or whether it's relics or whether it's retinues and masteries. So you'll run out of points really, really quick. But you, at the same time, a lot of the Dweg stuff, you're paying the points for a unit that can do some work. Like Fireforged are 250 points if you run them with a Flamecaster and a Leader. But I recommend running them with a Flamecaster and a Leader, because you're only rolling, you know, 6 to 12 dice on a full unit. Getting that one reroll from a Leader for 15 points when you're paying as many points as you are, worth it. And running a Flamecaster, if you can get them, you know, they're a medium unit, they can score. You run them up onto an objective and they sit there, and then their Flamecaster gives them torrential fire, it's worth it. And, you know, then you've got a Steel Shaper or a Sorcerer sitting in there, even better. So that's sort of, I think, honestly, the Fireforge is a great buy moving on from a Warband box, because it can be used by 2 of your different characters, and they're just a really solid all-round unit, because they're super defensive. They get to roll, you know, a bunch of dice at AP2, which nothing else in the game has. And you can just do some shredding that way. But it also...
I love it.
It helps you chunk out a lot of points.
I love it. I think we definitely made the title. Vanguard Garage Gaming says, buy some Fireforged.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not wrong. They're great. Yeah, so I mean that's pretty much it. I mean, the Dwegs suffer a little bit from lack of options at this point. You know, the Kira will be, you know, obviously he's very good on his own with regards to the Flame Berserkers as the restricted choice, as good as they are. But he's going to really come into his own when the Wardens and the Initiates get released down the pipeline. So I feel he's an unfinished canvas. The Tempered Zork, you know, we haven't even talked about spells, which you don't need to. I mean, we've gone over them before and how good they are and how much they buff the force, and you can certainly go if I was gonna run Dweg, it's an army I don't own myself. If I was going to run Dweg, I would probably do a medium heavy. And by medium heavy, that's confusing. So I would mainly stack mediums. I realized how confusing that was. I'd mainly stack mediums. I would probably do a Ray and a Steel Shaper, so a two character list. I would probably have one unit of Dragon Slayers coming in just because they're a bully and people will respect them. And, you know, reinforcement rolls be damned. And I would be, getting the Ray in all his beauty, the Steel Shaper in all his buffing capacity, and just getting board control going forward. You know, and I know it's a little bit sacrilege to not run a sorcerer because they're so good, but I just think that the point sink they have in this particular, you know, warband starter, I think I would rather forego the buffs they give and prioritize board control than the other way around. But maybe that's just because I'm not a Dweg player, and clearly I'm a heretic.
No, I can 100% agree with that, man. Like, I've been playing around with Dwegs a little bit lately, and I mean, I've been running a sorcerer, but it's because it's one of the things I have easy access to. It was one of the first models I built and painted for them.
It's a beautiful guy too.
It's just like, it's one of those things where, but it's like, if I built and paint my Steel Shaper, I'm too lazy to at the moment, then I would probably run him in the same capacity, which is put him in a unit of Fireforged, because I think that his supremacy ability is that good. The double tap spell from the sorcerer, really good. But bringing back four wounds, so a whole stand worth of Dragon Slayers, Warriors, Thanes, which I'm running in the rest of my army, is super good.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. With the Warband box, you could just go Ray and Steel Shaper and just add units to fill their Warbands out, and you'll hit 2,000 points in no time.
Real quick. Quicker than any other faction. I think they're really good. Really good force. And at least locally, they were really, really popular when the game sort of came out and the Dweg sort of came out. But they've sort of taken a bit of a dive, and not that many people play them. And then even the new players getting into the game have found not that many are drawn to the Dweg, to the Magicka Dweg. So
We've got a couple of new Dweg home players, but I honestly think the call of the Wadrun has very much grabbed people's attention at the moment. So we might see people roll back to them at some point, I think.
I hope so, because they're beautiful. They're beautiful. I love the dwarves.
Actually, you know what?
Start my own dwarf list.
You know what? We'll see heaps of people start playing Dwegs when the Hellbringer Drake suddenly appears.
Oh yeah, boy. When the pew 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 light them up with Fireboy Drake.
Exactly. But yeah, so guys, that's the Dweg home, really. Like you could go to summarize two Warband boxes and add some extra stuff, you're laughing. Because it'll give you the two characters that are solid for your force. It'll give you access to the core units you'll need across the army. Even if you do grab the other characters and use them instead, you know, the Ardent Kerawa, the Sorcerer, the Ray, and the Steel Shaper, like all of the heroes for the Dweg, can run Warriors and Ballistae. So you'll always have Warriors and Ballistae, and the Warband box gives you two boxes to start. So going from there, you've got easy access to running anything in the force, and then you just add extra stuff on, whatever looks cool, whatever you want to try. But yeah, to sort of, you know, echo what I've been saying for the last however long it's been, Box of Fireforge will never go astray, because two of your characters can run it as mainstay and one of your characters can run it as restricted. So it'll have a place if you need to run it. Plus,
hashtag by Fireforged.
Exactly. Hashtag VGG says by Fireforged. But mate, I think we've natted on about the Dweg enough. How about we go into the Nords?
Let's extinguish that fire.
Exactly, mate. And to do so, we'll use the cold ice from Mannheim.
I sent it right up there.
Yeah.
Mate, tell me what's in the Nord box. Seek us away.
The Nord box, nice and easy, right? It gives you access to the Blooded. It gives you access to a Shaman. It gives you one box of Uga. It gives you one box of Stalkers. And it gives you one box of Raiders.
Okay. So
I'm going to quickly just jump in, because I'm the Nord man, and I love me some Nords. I don't like this box as a starting point.
Okay. All right. Sing us away, Reese. What's about the box?
So realistically, looking at the box, there are two things I would take out of this box there's one thing I take out of this box and use all the time, and there's another thing I take out of this box and use some of the time. The thing I'll take out and use some of the time are the Ugo. The thing I'll take out and use all the time is the Blooded. And that's it. Stalkers and... So we all know my opinion on Raiders. If anyone's listened to the first, I think it's 40 minutes of the Nord Faction Focus, you'll understand my deep-seated, vehement resentment of that unit. Stalkers, though, I appreciate Stalkers. But because the Nords have had a few releases lately and there's some other ones coming up soon, I think Stalkers are just going to get replaced really quickly because they're really expensive for what they do. Which again is for a TLDR of anybody who doesn't want to hop back to the Nord faction focus, Raiders are much the same. They're too expensive for what they do. But the Blooded, 100%, he's in every single list I ever run ever because his Warlord trait is probably one of the best, if not the best in the game, because it gives his whole warband flank. And the Uga are really, really good whether you juice them up and have this one big scary unit to either use as a distraction, or you know, send up the guts or run down the flanks as separate units. And they're realistically cheap for what they do. But yeah, and then the shaman's so mixed, man. So mixed.
Can I interject?
You sure can. Tell you what, you can talk for a bit. I'll sit quietly. I'll go into my little naughty corner about my continuous banging on Nords.
Oh man, I wish I could pour you a glass of this delicious 2016 McLaren Vale Shiraz that I've opened. Absolutely gorgeous wine, and it's putting me in the very best of moods. Although I don't know how it can top talking to you on this fine evening. But look, let's class this Nord review up a little bit. I completely agree with you. Okay. I completely agree with you. I would not buy that box purely because I'm not saying don't play Nords, because Nords are fantastic. But that box suffers from first units released itis. And unfortunately, in the Nords case, those first released units weren't particularly good. Now, of course, everything in this game is subject to change. Everything is obviously subject to frequent ongoing balance checks. And I'm sure in the future and in the future releases of this game, those units will become money. I'm positive because they look so good. They're so thematic. I'm sure they'll change. But obviously, until they do, I think your opinion is sound, mate. But the 100% right. The Stalkers, yes, they're good. Yes, they're good for what they do. Now, the Nords, to put a little bit of context, the Nords, as we said earlier with the Dweg, they're very elite. They're very expensive for what they bring to the table. Nords, unfortunately, suffer a very similar plight. They are very expensive. They have a lot of elite units. They cost a lot of coin on the table. So having a unit of very expensive archers that, yes, they set your reinforcement line, but because you're running Blooded, who has flank on all units in his warband, you don't need that really good line necessarily. You probably need it the least out of any of the factions.
Yeah.
Because you have that pure reliability when it comes to your reinforcements. You can just sprint from the back edge. Faster than almost anyone, unless they roll, you know, a Yahtzee. yes, I appreciate what the Stalkers give. And again, you know, if they were cheaper and in a different time, potentially they might be changed, and that might, you know, make it any better. But at this current stage, I just wouldn't leave home with them. So they've been replaced in my eyes with the Bow Chosen. And again, first units released artists, you know, what's come next is, if you're not aware, we've got the Bow Chosen, we have the Trolls.
And you got the Huskars.
We have the Huskars, thank you. So we have all units that are not included in this box that I really hope they make a new box for. Maybe not the Bow Chosen, because obviously they are resin models. They're more expensive than the average bear, but however, they are fantastic and you know they're beautiful. So maybe not them, but certainly Huskarls, certainly, pardon me, Trolls. I think if we can get these guys in another Warband box, maybe Warband box Mark II.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, that would be a very different proposition, because to me, Huskarls and Trolls and Bow Chosen, as you said, the Blooded, you know, these are standout units in this army. The other ones, not so much. And the Shaman, you know, he's okay. If he was the White Waste Shaman, maybe we'd be having a different chat, but he's the
standard
Shaman.
We would be having a very different chat, mate. I am beyond excited for when White Waste Shaman arrives. But yeah, the normal Shaman, I can appreciate what he's there to do. I just don't think he does it as well as you want him to do it. And that causes this weird little why would I predicament.
And it's frustrating because he's such a cool model.
Yeah, exactly. Now, regards to building an army, we're going to have to start from scratch. So, whether you get the Warband box or not for, you know, having a collection of models, let's say you do because it's an easy buy-in for argument's sake, right? You're going to take the Blooded. You'll probably take the Ugar, but we're definitely taking the Blooded. So we know where we're starting. Your next purchase, like almost immediately, should be a Jarl for your second character.
I love me a Jarl.
So not only does that model look cool as hell, but the Jarl is also a really, really good character because he gives you access to the Huskarls. He gives you access to Ugar. He gives you access to a Mountain Jotnar. He gives you access to some unreleased stuff like the Ulfenda, and I'm pretty sure the Bears Arcs. So he is going to be great. But even as a standalone where he is at the moment, you could run a Jarl and just have one unit of Huskarls in his warband, and he's paid for himself, like hands down. So, you know, that's where we're starting. We're starting with a Blooded. We're starting with a Jarl. Like Monty was saying, you want Bow Chosen. Now, and I agree with Monty, like the Bow Chosen models, because they're all resin kit and they're beautiful character sculpts for this unit, they're expensive and they're also really hard to get at the moment because Parabellum have said that they weren't expecting the supply and demand of the Bow Chosen to be what it was. They are going to re-release the kit as a plastic kit, but I think that's in the future. I don't know if it'll be this year or next year. But you can still get the resin ones here, there, and everywhere. You can still order them in, and they'll keep making it. But they weren't expecting sort of the outlay of cost for what they made, or what they had anticipated to sort of come to where it was. So that can be a big turnoff, but just be aware that they are going to be re-releasing them as plastic sculpts. And that's going to make them, you know, a lot more palatable for people who don't want to spend as much on a box. So if you don't want to run Bow Chosen, you can fill their place with Stalkers. And that's going to be the sort of trade-off. But for argument's sake of building a 2,000-point list, we're going to go Bow Chosen. Now, Bow Chosen are restricted for the Blooded, which means you will need a mainstay. Conveniently, Trolls are mainstay. So,
I never would have thought.
I know, right? Glorious. That's basically where you're going to want to start. Box of Bow Chosen, box of Trolls. Now, both of those regiments are really expensive, points wise. And from there, the Blooded's going to need a little bit of work, because you can either make the Blooded a little bit faster and a bit more of a combat beast and put him in Trolls, or you can make the Blooded a little bit more sort of balanced and dedicated to shooting and putting him with the Bow Chosen. So you do get those options there. Now, either of those is going to cost you anywhere between 50 and 100 points, depending on where you sort of go and what you're doing. The ranged variant, where you just put the Blooded in the Bow Chosen, is a lot cheaper. But if you combat him and speed him up, he's going to be a lot more expensive. Now, that's your sort of baseline. Now, from there, because the Blooded Supremacy is phenomenal and Call of the Hunt gives everything in his warband flank, you want to shove the stuff that you want on the board in his warband. Now, I would go out and say you probably want a second box of trolls. And then you'll either sort of probably lean towards Ooga or a Mountain Jotnar with what's available at the moment to fill that fourth slot in his warband. Now, Ooga, like I said before, you can use as a flanking unit, or you can beef the unit up. I mean, hell, you could even put the Blooded in there because there's a mastery that lets you do so. So you've got options. And then the other option is the Mountain Jotnar. Now, because he's a heavy, sometimes you might be like, oh, I don't know about running him. But when he's coming in immediately turn three, you can set him up and get him rolling as soon as you want. And they're both about the same points cost without any upgrade, because it's 150 for a unit of Ooga, it's 155 for a Mountain Jotnar. Nice and simple. And that before upgrades, you know, Blooded and his warband is 1,000, with a Jarl sitting there waiting to get, you know, added to his own little crew, is 1,000 points. So to build your next 1,000 points, we hop over to the Jarl, and you're immediately going to want a box of Huskarls. Now, realistically, you're going to want two boxes of Huskarls, because the Huskarls
three
are that.
Three boxes of Huskarls. Three!
I'm starting simple, Monty. We're building expectations. But no, I agree. You're probably going to want... You're going to want three. I mean, hell, even four boxes of Huskarls is not the wrong choice.
Now you're just crazy.
Now I'm just crazy.
Oh, yeah, mate. No, I think you're 100% right. You need to, with the Blooded, pigeonhole as much stuff as you can to get maximum benefit from that supremacy, because it is, for my money, the best supremacy in the game, hands down, for when it comes to winning a game. Auto flake is just gravy. So no, brilliant, perfect. Trolls, and of course with trolls, they're a really cheap for real world dollars, for quite expensive on the table. So that's another way that you can make this army quite efficient. And you can sort of, I guess that is takes a little of the sting off our initial comments of don't buy the warband box, because I still maintain do not buy the warband box, because if you want to build the way that we're talking, you just end up with stuff you don't use. So you could get it if you're because they're beautiful models. You can get it if you're a collector of the models. Obviously, if you're a modelist and paintist and you want to sort of have the whole collection, they're fantastic. But if you wanted to run it in this iteration, I would probably just say go piecemeal, get the boxes you need. And that way, you know, with the trolls being, you know, you're paying infantry prices for, you know, quite a very premium points cost on the table. They're very, very good for what they do. You know, getting two boxes of those minimum is great, because it gives you that flexibility of either running a big, big unit with the tooled up Blooded, who's you know, that's a pretty good staple. Or you can split them into two lots of three, gives you a bit more board control, a bit more sort of tough objective play. Hell, you could go three boxes if you really wanted to, just go nuts. But Mountain Jotnar is a good shout. So too are Ooga. They're both really, really good. They both sort of serve a similar. I guess purpose in the list. They're both counter charges. If you run them up as your main line, they're going to die. They're going to die before they do anything.
They're made of paper. That's a big thing to be aware of. Shy of Huskarls and shy of your opponent not hitting the magic number on trolls, this whole army will fall over to a stiff breeze. Bow chosen have a little bit more survivability because they've got the two wounds each. Trolls have the two wounds each and have regeneration. However, if your opponent gets that magic wound count on the trolls, you're not going to get the consistency out of regen that you want. Huskarls, on the other hand, defense two with a shield, and they've got the cheapest access to Bastion, I think, in the game at 20 points for a Thane. And then if you've got them in a big enough unit and you want to make it so that, you know, their resolve isn't going to make a lot of them run away, they've got really cheap access with the Scald at 20 points to give them plus one resolve. So for relatively cheap turnaround, you can and Huskarls are cheap as well. They're 150 points for three stands. And then, you know, you add your 40 points on for your two upgrades, and you've got a really tanky, really survivable unit that the Jarl can sit in. He doesn't slow them down. They don't slow him down. They're both movement five. And then, yeah, you've just got this nice little anchor unit because they're mediums. They can score. And a really good trick is you give the, if you got the Jarl in a big unit of Huskarls, you give him the Golden Torque, which is a relic that gives him and his unit flank. And now that that big unit of Huskarls is guaranteed turn two, and can start, you know, get on the board and start scoring at the same time all of your trolls come on the board from your blooded. So, yeah,
so you now get... you've got 1,600 of your 2,000 points flanking.
Exactly. And that's a big thing with Nords, is the army has really good access to flank. It has really good flanking units. And that's the big thing with them is getting them set up in the right spot so that they're good to go, because you will lose the attrition war probably 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I 100% agree with you. Just one step further with the Jarl. Golden Torque is beautiful with those Huskarls to get them in. You know, 6 stands of Huskarls with the 2 upgrades and the tooled Jarl is expensive, but it just gives you a midpoint anchor that is probably one of the best of the game. It's phenomenally efficient at just grinding out an objective based scenario. It gets on the board with flank quick. It gets where you want to go. It doesn't care much about peppered arms fire. You know, it takes a real concerted effort to take them down. You know, with coordinated flank charges, that sort of thing. Because from the front, they are defense 4 when they get their bastion rolling. Yeah, they resolve 7,000.
They resolve 5, I think, with a scald.
That'll do.
And then depending on size, you might even make them bigger. So
yeah, exactly. So they're fantastic. I think they're great. And just one step further with the Jarl. If you haven't done it, look at Long Lineage and then the Broken Blade, plus the combat upgrades for the Jarl. So that just gives them flank plus turns the Jarl into an absolute beat stick. Yep. Then you've got the ultimate grind unit of amazing combat potential as well as amazing defense potential, and good luck going up against that is all I'm going to say.
Yeah. So yeah, well, so far, as a sort of summarizes, we've sort of natted on a little bit on different topics. You've got a blooded, you've got a box of bow chosen, you've got 2 boxes of trolls, you've got a Jarl, you've got at least 2 boxes of Huskarls, but let's say 3, and then you've either bought a box of Ugar, or you had one, or you've bought a Mountain Jotnar. At that point, you're just under 1,500 points. So from here, you can play around a little bit. I honestly, at this point, would just say upgrade, like spend that last 400, 500 points on upgrades. Make the units bigger.
Beefing the unit numbers up. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, so at this point, you're probably looking at having to buy, whether it be more Huskarls or more Trolls or, you know, more Ugar or whatever. You'll need to do that because you're not going to have enough points to take another character and start fleshing out a warband. So you're better off just upgrading what you have and making it harder and harder to deal with. More Trolls is good. Units of 4 is a really good sweet spot. Units of 5 might be a bit much, but could still work. Your bow chosen, you could honestly just sit at 3 stands and call it a day.
Definitely.
But it's like your Huskarls, you'll want more of because they're that good. Your trolls, you want more of because they're that good. And yeah, you're just going to build up from this point. So yeah, the last 400 or 500 points, what is it, 550 points, give or take, and I haven't upgraded characters with that. And you know, you've got that to spend on more trolls, more Huskarls. Hell, if you've taken the Ugar and you want to run more Ugar, or you've taken the Mountain Jotnar but you want to run Ugar, you can run Ugar because the Jarl can access them in his warband.
Exactly.
So you've got room. Yep, you've got room.
Don't sleep on the Ugar, people. They've been copping. They copped a bit of early flack, purely just because of the dominance of the Spire.
Mm.
The Ugar like the Spire matchup about as least as anyone. and I, as a Spire player, I wring my hands with delight as soon as I see a thick, juicy unit of Ooga just running at me. But they are the phenomenal counter charge units. They're amazing bullies, even just for that minimum of three. They're 150 points. They're mainstay in both the Blooded and the Jarl. They're phenomenal. Just if they die, that's okay. It didn't cost that much of your army. But if they get to where they want to go and they hit a side flank, my goodness me, they rip through whatever you're trying to hit. And you know, they're just great, and they look amazing. They're such imposing models. The only negative is because they hit so hard, they're usually just dead before they do anything. they're always focus fired first. But again, that frees up. You know, if you want a distraction, you know, your distraction Carnifex. If you want your unit to then be the lodestone for fire and for attention. Ooga are amazing because they're imposing models. People go, oh, I've got to get those Ooga first, and maybe they don't hit your Huskars before they get Bastion up, or maybe they don't hit your Trolls before they get in a position and whatnot. So I think they're great.
Yeah, no, exactly. So yeah, guys, that's honestly the Nords in a nutshell at the moment. When we get more releases, so the next thing on the wins is the Fenner Beast Pack for the Blooded. It's a restricted option for him. So you know, you might want to say drop a unit of Trolls or drop the Mountain Jotnar or something and run the Fenner. They're a nice little unit. They're fast. They can, you know, can get around the corners of your opponent's army and actually do some decent damage. They got a lot of attacks. So, and they're fairly cheap for what they do as well. So there you go. That's realistically the next release. Well, that's the only release we know of coming in the foreseeable future. I think in the next month or so, Parabellum will be showing us the second half of 2021's catalog. So we should see more and more coming out this year. Especially with the release rate they've been on. So that'll be good to see. But yeah, that's Nords in a nutshell, guys. To get to 2,000 points, Blooded, Trolls, Huskarl, Jarl, Bowchosen. Laughing.
Laugh all the way to the bloody bank.
Yeah.
Brilliant, mate. Well, look, I think that's our primary objective. We haven't mentioned the giveaway we have going.
No, I was just about to, mate. So you've done an excellent job there of reading my mind. So yeah, we're currently running a giveaway, guys, on our Facebook page. All it is show us a picture of what you're building, what you're painting, what you're working on for Conquest, and use the hashtag Path of Conquest. I think we'll, what do you reckon, Monty? We'll give it another week, and then we'll draw a winner. So
I reckon we announce it on our next episode. I think enough time has passed.
There you go.
I reckon.
Done.
Give people time.
Oh.
Sorry, so, yeah, that's me getting enthusiastic and my foot placement on chairs.
That sounds good, mate. So yeah, it'll be another week or 2 weeks from the recording of this, which is the 10th of June for our next episode. So get in, guys. Show us what you're working on. The prize is the faction starter for the Wadrun for First Blood. So it gives you, what does that give you, Monty? I always forget. Is it four hunters or slingers?
It's four Braves hunters, blooded? Slingers, four Braves blooded. The
and a predator? Yeah, there we go.
Is
nice.
That it?
I think that, yeah, that sounds like about it. So yeah, it's
just a small little box. It's great. It's a great little starter. If you're into First Blood, it's obviously brilliant. If you're into the Last Argument of Kings, it's a great supplement. It gives you a character. It gives you extra stands to add to the regiment you already have. It's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, guys, get it on that. The more people who go in there, the better. The more pictures you show us, the more chances you'll have to win. So yeah, get in, show us what you're working on. We're really keen to see it. Parabellum sees it as well, which is always good. So yeah, just share that, guys. We love seeing what people are doing in the community. But mate, what else have you got? Any closing thoughts?
Not really, Matt. I've just got a whole lot of Braves to build. currently in the building phase, I bulk build. They are one arm with their spears, but no shields yet.
I think
there's about 36 of them sitting there. So yeah, they need some love. But they will sing. Come when my Wadrun reinforcements arrive in June, hopefully, when it comes to the big boys with the totem poles.
Nice, excellent, mate. Love it, love it. Well, guys, thanks for listening. Monty, thank you for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
Fantastic. And until we see you next time, guys, thank you very much. See ya.